Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness. That's how Psalm 107 begins. And five times in that psalm, the author stops to say that again. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness. Some think this psalm refers back to the deliverance of Israel from Egypt. Others think it refers to their deliverance from the Babylonian captivity. It could be either one. It could be both. Or it could be that the psalmist is metaphorically pointing out God's gracious deliverance of his people from their normal day-to-day distresses and troubles. Whatever is the case, the psalmist sounds as if the giving of thanks to the Lord is a rare thing. And it probably is. It certainly was rare in the story of the lepers. How many years in a row have I read this gospel lesson? I love it. But only one returned to give thanks. And so today, we have a day appointed for the giving of thanks. To gather as God's people and to offer our thanksgiving to God for the blessings that he showers upon us every day. Why give thanks to the Lord? Well, I mentioned something here, but note the first verse of Psalm 107. We give thanks because the Lord is good. We give thanks because the Lord is good. The Lord's character is that of goodness, of moral excellence. Those of us raised in a Christian culture and in the church would take that for granted. But remember, when this was written in much of the ancient world with whom Israel had to do, there were gods who demanded the children be burnt as sacrifices to please them. We give thanks because the Lord is good. Our God is not like that at all. Rather than asking us to give our children for him, he gives his son for us. What an inversion of the worship of the pagans around Israel. Our God is good, and his ways are always good. Even when we don't understand them, even when it seems as if nobody is in charge, even when he is disciplining us for our disobedience, our apathy, he is a good father. And all of his dealings with us are good and for good. We give thanks because the Lord is good. The psalmist also says that we give thanks because his mercy endures forever. That's a great line. Think about that. God's mercy endures forever. How many times have you repented and confessed of sin to God? How many times have you repented and confessed of the same sin over and over and over again? We fail. And what does God say? You're forgiven. Because of Christ's work on the cross, you are forgiven. His mercy endures forever. This mercy refers to God's covenant faithfulness, his constant love for us through Christ. So when we repent of our sin over and over and over again, he is faithful and just to forgive our sin. He is always faithful to his covenant promise. You have come today. You've confessed your sins. We're hearing the word of the Lord. We will confess our faith, and you will come to the table. And God, in his covenant mercy, will say to you, you are my children. This is my table. This bread, this wine is Christ given for you. Eat, rejoice, give thanks, be nourished and strengthened in the life that I have given you. Time after time after time after time, he is always faithful to his covenant promises. These are indeed reasons for daily thankfulness, are they not? The remainder of Psalm 107 constitutes examples of God's goodness and mercy to Israel. This, of course, is our history too. For what God did for Israel, he also did for us in Jesus. Whether it's the deliverance from Egypt or the deliverance of Babylon or the daily deliverance that we experience from God, Israel's history is our history. For there is one church, and we are one people. The examples the psalmist gives contain figurative or metaphorical aspects and literal aspects. God has literally calmed the seas to deliver his people, or parted the Red Sea, or calmed the Sea of Galilee when Jesus was in the boat with his disciples. But he has also calmed the storms on the Sea of Life and has given us a hope and a resting place in him. God is our hope, our help in times of trouble, isn't he? Always, every day. And it is always God and his grace who brings us safely home, who delivers us from the storm. And where is home? Well, this is a part of it here. The safe harbor that is the home to which God brings us is the city of God. That is the church, the kingdom, the bride of Christ. By grace, God has brought you, listen to what Paul writes in Hebrews, he has brought you to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of the sprinkling that speaks better than that of Abel. Now, that's just not a beautiful and colorful phrase. God has brought us home, and he brings us home. We wander, and he brings us home. This is where you are today. You're in the heavenly city, the Jerusalem. Heaven and earth is joined. You have come to Mount Zion. You are surrounded by a company of innumerable angels that you can't see. Everyone's been out to see the painted churches by now, right? Schulenburg, if you haven't, go. Take some time. Take a day and just go. It's beautiful what the Czech Christians have done, painting scenes from heaven. Angels on the walls, clouds and sky of heaven on the ceiling, angels surrounding them. They did this. It's old world Christianity. The way it was for hundreds of years. They did this because when they went into the church, they wanted to remember where they were. To the heavenly Jerusalem, to the true Mount Zion, to a company of innumerable angels we have come as we gather in the presence of God. These are reasons for thankfulness, are they not? Reasons for thankfulness to God. The psalmist continues by reminding us that the Lord humbles the proud. The princes, the powerful ruling elite, who think they have the world under their thumbs, shall meet with the justice of God. If not in this life, then in the next one. But they shall meet it. God humbles the proud. and he exalts the humble. He sets the poor on high, far from affliction. Today, yes. In the future, yes. But certainly, eternally, in the presence of our God. God brings justice in history, and he will bring ultimate justice at the end of history. This, too, is reason for praising the Lord. Psalm 107 ends with these words: whoever is wise will observe these things, and they will understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Whoever is wise will observe these things that we have confessed and read and heard in Psalm 107. Are you wise? Whoever is wise will observe, will live by this, will do these things. Are we wise? Seeing so many reasons to give thanks to the Lord, how are we to do it? Well, we do so first by prayer. We take the time to say, thank you. The leper who returned to give thanks did this. In grateful devotion, he bowed before Jesus as Lord and offered his thanks. But I bet it wasn't a once-for-all thing. I imagine that every day this leper who had been excluded from the company of his people and his family, I imagine that every day this leper got up and gave thanks. He had been set outside the community, isolated, estranged from family and friends. Now he's restored. Isn't that what God does with us? We were all moral lepers, and God has healed us, and he's brought us into his church, his family. I can imagine this leper getting up every day and receiving, citing another psalm. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and give thanks in it. Now, I don't always start my day that way, but it's my intention to start my way that way every day. I think it's good for us. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and give thanks in it. To start the day with thanksgiving to God for the life that we have. Secondly, not only by personal or family prayer do we offer our thanks, but we offer our thanksgiving to God through worship. That's what you're doing here today. I'm so pleased. I really am. I brag about you. Don't let it go to your head. Okay? But here we are on a day when people are gathering around with their families or watching football or doing something and calling it a day of thanksgiving, but they don't have time to go to church and give thanks to God. We'll call it Turkey Day or call it Football Day. But if we don't take time to give thanks to God, it's not Thanksgiving. And here you are. Radical for our culture. Radical for the church. That we would actually take a day of thanksgiving and give thanks to God. And you are, because you know God. You know the Lord's grace and love and blessings to you. And so we give thanks through worship. I pulled down Bradford's of Plymouth Plantation this morning and read just a paragraph is all that's in it on the first Thanksgiving. Man, they had a feast. They had 3 days of feasting and prayer and joy because of the grace of God. Do you remember that? Almost half of them died the first winter. And the next year, they had an abundance. And they gave thanks to the Lord. The psalmist says that we are to sacrifice. It's interesting. To sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving. And the word sacrifice is the same word that is used in the Old Testament of the killing and offering of animals in the temple. Worship is sacrifice. Note the familiar words of Psalm 116. And I think about this every Thanksgiving, Dale, and then I forget it afterwards. We should have changed and done the service that has this psalm in it. Maybe we'll make a note. This Psalm 116, 12 through 14, is familiar to you because we sang it for our great feast days. What, asked the psalmist, shall I render to the Lord for all of his benefits to me? How will I thank him for all that God has done for me? And his answer is, I will take the cup of salvation. I love that line. This cup is the cross. Jesus says he has a cup to bear and he must drain it. This cup is the cross of Jesus giving his life for us. I will take the cup of salvation. I will put my hope and trust in the work of Christ. That's what I'll do in response to all of God's grace for me. Our lives in thankful service to Jesus. But this cup is also the cup. It's the Eucharist, right? The word Eucharisto, from which we get Eucharist, means I give thanks. I will take the cup of salvation, the cross. I will take the cup that God has given me. His life for ours, for our benefit. And he says, I will take that cup and I will call upon the Lord. The cup is the cross, I will call upon the Lord. The cup is the cup, I will call upon the Lord in thanksgiving and joy for the grace and salvation he has given to me. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. We could almost sing this, couldn't we? Vows? Yes, we have all pledged our lives to Jesus. We have all pledged to be faithful disciples of Jesus Christ and to use our lives by his grace and service to him and to each other. Keeping our vows that we have made to the Lord is a way of offering thanks. It's a way of offering thanks to him. So we offer thanks by prayer. We offer thanks by worship, as we are doing. And we offer thanks by presenting our lives to the Lord each day. Paul exhorted us in Romans 12, you know it, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. There's that word sacrifice again. Holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. We present our lives to Jesus in joyful thanksgiving for the grace that he has given to us and bringing us as lepers out of the leper colony, estranged from him, back into his family, into the garden, into the Holy of Holies. James gives us some examples of such sacrifice, of presenting our lives to Jesus. He says we are to be doers of God's word, those who live by the teachings of Jesus. What a strange idea. We so believe that Jesus is Lord and King that we hear his words, and to the best of our ability, by God's grace, we put them into practice. That shouldn't be strange. That should be normal, right? What does James say? We're to be doers of the word. Joyous submission to God's will is a part of what it means to call Jesus Lord. Remember Jesus at one time, some people came to him, he'd probably got some free food and health care and all of that. They kept calling him Lord, Lord, and Jesus says, why do you call me that and you don't do what I say? It doesn't make any sense. James goes on to illustrate what it means to be a doer of God's word. It means being set apart to God. Keep yourself, he said, unspotted from the world. Don't think like the world thinks. Don't act like the world acts. Think self-consciously as a Christian. That's what it means to keep yourself unspotted. This is God's world. He created all that exists. You belong to God. You are created in his image. You are his children. Those are the starting points for the way that we as Christians live. And it's not the way the world teaches. The underlying philosophical basis of secular religion is that we kind of just poof came into existence. You take nothing and give it millions of years or billions of years, and they tell us it turns into something. Bah. We know that's not true, but it forms the foundation of our culture. we think different. We acknowledge in all of our thoughts that God is creator, that this world is his, that we were made in his image. That's a part of what it means when James says, keep yourself unspotted from the world. He's not just talking about ethics. He's talking about all of life. Then he says it means bridling our tongues, abstaining from lies or filthy speech or things that we shouldn't be saying. And then he says it means charity. True religion is what? Visiting the orphan, the widow, the sick. Isn't that what Jesus did? What do we find Jesus doing? We find him healing the sick, feeding the hungry, helping those who have no helper. And we are his people. We imitate him. Thanksgiving, then, whether it's in prayer or it's in worship or if it's in our daily lives, thanksgiving is woven into the very heart of our lives. Recognizing that God has graciously set his love on us, that he has redeemed us and adopted us as his children, our entire lives are characterized by thankfulness. Not by mumbling and grumbling, not by complaining, by thankfulness. Thankfulness. Gratitude. Thankfulness is a major motivation for our worship. You came here today to give thanks to the Lord. And thanksgiving is a part of our regular meetings, especially on Sunday morning. Again, Eucharist means I give thanks. And we begin that part of our service with what's called the Great Thanksgiving, which begins, let us give thanks to the Lord. It is right that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to the Lord. We confess that every time we come to his table. So the climax of our worship service is a meal of thanksgiving in the presence of the Lord. Like the leper who was healed, you and I have come to give thanks to the Lord this day. And in our giving of thanks, there is a divine response. Did you hear what Jesus said to the healed leper? Your faith has made you whole. Where do we see this man's faith evidenced? Did he confess a creed somewhere? Well, probably eventually he will, but not right there. We see his faith when he comes into the presence of God, Jesus, God in our flesh, when he bows before him and worship, and he gives thanks to Jesus. There's his faith. Jesus tells them, go to the priest, go to the temple. And they go. And as they're going, they're healed. And one of the 10 says, this is Jesus's work. I'll get to the temple later. I'm going back to find Jesus. And I'm going to fall on my face before him and I'm going to give him thanks. There is faith. That was an illustration of faith in Jesus. What of the other 9 who didn't return? Were they not recipients of salvation? Well, we don't know, but it appears so from what Jesus says. The other 9 had been healed, but only one received Jesus' declaration of salvation. The other 9 got what they wanted, but this one received more than he dreamed of asking. Isn't that you too? Think about it. Oh, I know, there are all kinds of trials and struggles, troubles, work, family, health. But haven't you received more from God than that which you even thought of asking? The love and grace of God in Jesus Christ upon the cross. Died for our sins, raised for our justification. His life for our life. And so again today, let us give thanks to the Lord for his love and grace. for the many blessings of life that we have received. And then let us go forth joyfully to keep the feast with family and friends, to rejoice. We Christians ought to be joyous feasting people because we have reasons for it. And then let us live each day as thankful, faithful disciples of Jesus Christ. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord. His mercy endures forever. Let us pray. Almighty God, it is with great thanksgiving that we have entered your presence again this day, for you are our God and we are your people. Our lives, every breath we take, every sight of your gorgeous creation that we see, every smell that we enjoy, everything is a gift of your grace, especially the gift of Christ our Lord, who has made us your children. We give thanks to you, O Lord, Heavenly Father, for everything that you have granted to us. In Christ's name, amen.